court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia. Welcome to Court Appointed, Two Dudes' Perspective on Legal Frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
Well, Tommy, the holiday season is running me ragged.
Running you ragged?
Yeah, I have been super busy with work. I think everybody's trying to get all their work done now so they don't have to do anything around Christmas time.
Well, you would think that everybody feeling the Christmas spirit and joy and Yule logs and all that, they would be kinder to each other, and they wouldn't need the have the need for a lawyer or whatever, because usually, you know, if you need a lawyer, that means something bad.
Yeah, I mean, I just came from the jail, actually, from visiting a client.
I'm glad they let you out.
Yeah, me too.
You were in the just visiting part, on Monopoly? Yeah. You weren't actually in the jail.
No, I was in the jail.
Oh, you were in the jail.
Yeah, I was behind they opened the big metal doors that open.
Yeah.
You walk in, then they go, clang, right behind you.
So, do you sit at the table with the guy, or is it like one of those things with the window and you talk on the phone to him?
Oh, no. If you're an attorney, you're like in the room with them. Yeah, in the room where it happened. At our jail in particular, it's a newer jail, so it's kind of not like the old jail in Cabell County was just terrifying. It's kind of similar to like what you would envision where Edmond Dantès was imprisoned during the Count of Monte Cristo. It was gnarly.
And you know what made it even more terrifying?
What's that?
One of our former sheriffs several years back got the idea that it would calm the prisoners if they painted it pink. So they painted the entire inside of the jail pink, all the walls, because he had read a study that said pink was a soothing color, and that if they did that all the criminals that they were housing would be calmer in how they dealt with them.
That was here in Cabell County?
Yeah.
Which sheriff was that?
I want to say it was Bailey.
Really?
It was a while back. Yeah, it was. I mean, it was probably at least 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah, I actually saw him in town not too long ago.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure, I think it was him. I'm not positive. I couldn't swear to it. But it was somewhere back about 10 or 12 years ago. And I think we got written up in several places about our big pink jail. So well, luckily that's gone now.
You touched on one holiday tradition, and I've heard the term many times, and I have a lot of, I could make a kind of a funny joke about what it is, but what is a Yule log?
A Yule log?
Yeah. Is it just a big log in a fireplace?
Well, you've seen Christmas Vacation, right?
Right, yes.
And Chevy Chase has the awkward conversation with the young girl working behind the desk at the store.
I'm not saying I have a log. Do I have a log?
As in Yule log?
Yeah.
A Yule log, I guess, is just like a spiced log, so it gives off kind of a spicy smell or whatever.
a spicy, smelly log.
Yeah, it's like Old Spice. You put Old Spice on a log and you got a Yule log. I don't know. Maybe it's just something to make dirty jokes with. I don't know. I don't know what a Yule log is.
The 10-year-old boy in me wants to make a spicy, smelly log joke.
Now, I have seen cakes that are called that. They make those, it's not a bundt cake. It's one of those ones I've seen them on that Mary Berry show, that Great American Cooking Show or whatever, Bake Off or whatever. And they roll the sponge up and they roll it up. And so it's like long and it's got the rolled up layers.
Oh, yeah.
And then they coat them with icing and make it look like a log.
Yeah, like with chocolate.
And it's a Christmas Yule log cake.
Those are awesome.
Yeah. I mean, they look good. I've never had one, but
I've actually had one before. I think somebody's mom made one when I was in elementary school and brought it in, I think, and I had one.
Michael's eating a Yule log.
It's not cool, man. It's not cool.
Well, we've had two installments of our lead up to Christmas, our build up to Christmas, if you will. This is our third installment as we build up to Christmas.
That's right. This is our 12 Crazy Laws of Christmas episode.
That's right. And it's not that the laws really have anything to do with Christmas. It's just that there's 12 of them. They're crazy. And it's almost Christmas. So it's like the 12 days of Christmas, but it's the 12 crazy laws of Christmas, because how the hell else do we tie that in?
And we're actually both wearing Santa hats right now.
That's right.
There's no way for you to confirm or deny that. You just have to take our word on it.
Yeah, we covered up the camera. We're not on YouTube.
What's our first crazy law, Tommy?
Our first crazy law. It comes to us courtesy of Connecticut.
Okay.
Connecticut, it seems, has determined that for a pickle to legally be called a pickle, it must bounce. So if you're out there and you're selling something or making something and you're calling it a pickle and that thing just hits the floor and splats, it ain't a pickle.
Well, I guess maybe it's if it's been in the pickle juice too long, it's lost its exterior, its exoskeleton or something, and it just kind of...
That could be construed several ways, because any of us, if we're in the pickle juice too long, we kind of lose our exoskeleton to a certain way. And your pickle is no longer a pickle.
No, it's definitely not. So stay away from the pickle juice for too long. That's Otherwise, right. Your pickle won't bounce. That's right. It'll just splat.
If your pickle won't bounce, you're going to be sad. You won't have a Merry Christmas.
You're going to have some spring in your pickle.
What'd you get in your stocking? A pickle. It bounces, so I know it is one.
I've never tried
to bounce a pickle.
I haven't either. If I had one right now, I would probably throw it off the wall and see what happened.
I'd want it to be a sweet gherkin.
A sweet gherkin?
Yeah, I like sweet gherkins. I'm not much on dill pickles, or what are they called? Butter bread pickles or something
bread
like that.
Bread butter, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like those. Only kind of pickles I like are sweet pickles. I love me some sweet pickles.
I had quite a... only sweet pickles I know was like a TV show for children, I think.
Tommy Pickles?
No, Sweet Pickles, I think, was a TV show for kids.
Oh, well, I don't remember that.
There was actually a big scuffle that started over some pickles between my friends and I. There's a...
You had a pickle scuffle?
A pickle scuffle.
I hate a pickle scuffle.
This gentleman that lives in Wyoming had made some pickles. He makes his own pickles that are kind of spicy, and man, they are really good.
Do they bounce?
I did not test them for their...
If they don't bounce, you can't call them pickles. They're just spicy cured cucumbers.
Even if these don't bounce, I don't care. This is what pickles should be, because these are delicious. These are better than gherkins. These are better than anything else I've ever had.
I'll have to take your word on that.
So this gentleman made them for my friend Michael Fraley, and he made the mistake of entrusting these pickles to me to deliver to Michael. From Wyoming to Florida.
And you ate them.
I did eat them. And I...
You see that? I ratcheted a confession out of you.
Yeah,
man,
well...
Man, bring them into me. I'll break them for you, counselor.
I had already confessed to him before, so he knew about it.
Oh, that's too bad. I was going to blackmail you next.
Yeah, well, I kind of joked with the man that gave them to me and said, well, these might not make them to Michael. And he said, yeah, I probably won't. And they actually didn't. So,
you got any guesses as to what the legal reason would be why Connecticut would feel the urge to designate that a pickle must bounce? Were they protecting something maybe that they made that they didn't think that other people made right and theirs bounced? So they were, you think?
Maybe there was a local pickling community there. And they wanted to ensure that the pickles there were fresh, and so they were trying to covertly stifle interstate commerce of non-bouncy pickles. I don't know.
Well, all right. Well, there you have it. Don't eat non-bouncy pickles, because they're not pickles. What the hell are they? I don't know. But they're not pickles, so don't eat them, because you can't name them.
I like crisp pickles, too. The ones that are like, you know, when you break them, they snap. Like,
yeah.
That's how I like them.
Especially if they're sweet gherkins.
Yeah.
I love me some sweet gherkins.
Keep those flaccid pickles away from me.
That's right. That would not be good.
Okay, so let's move on to the next one after I said that.
All right. Well, Idaho comes in next. They have, under a chapter titled... Mayhem.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
That sounds like Santa Claus. Santa Claus doesn't bring mayhem.
That was my mayhem laugh.
Oh. That should be crazier. It should be like Ozzy Osbourne does.
All aboard!
Okay, that's your mayhem laugh.
That was actually pretty terrifying.
Under a chapter titled Mayhem, it outlines 14 years in prison for cannibalism, except in cases where it was necessary for survival. Yeah. So we see, going back to our cannibalism episode, there is actually a state that has enacted, because this is a fairly recent law, and it has enacted a cannibalism law. So it says you can't eat people unless you're doing it to survive. So what was his name? Thomas something on that boat?
The cabin boy?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they ate the cabin boy.
Yeah.
But the guy that got arrested for eating him or whatever, whatever his name was, whoever they were, he would have been all right. Remember, they found him guilty, but they wouldn't have found him guilty now.
Well, maybe.
Well, they had to survive.
Was it a necessity?
Sure. I'd vote for eating the fat guy. He's going to last longer.
That's true. I mean, yeah. He's probably going to eat more, too, so he needs more to survive.
That's right. So, yeah, so you might as well eat him. He would last longer, and the rest of you wouldn't eat as much, so it would last longer. So it's like a win-win situation for everybody but the fat guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Fat guy loses.
So in Idaho, do not eat anybody. Unless you're desperate, then it's okay.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Now, coming in next on we're counting down, so this is number 10. Mm-hmm. Number 10 comes to us from New Jersey. Fine state, if there ever was one. My best college friend came from New Jersey.
Really?
Yeah, old Callaghan grew up in Atlantic City before they had gambling.
I thought they always had gambling there.
Oh, no. I remember I was up there in the summer of 77 or 78, and it was the year that they had passed it, but of course they didn't have any casinos there yet or anything. So they were just getting ready to establish it.
Wasn't there, did you watch Boardwalk Empire?
Yes.
Wasn't there all gambling going on in that show?
Well, but you're talking about back in the days of like the 1800s or something like that.
It was the Roaring Twenties. I think.
The Roaring Twenties?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Well, then they outlawed it then because they had just brought it back in.
Oh, maybe they outlawed it for a period.
Yeah, I think they did because they brought it back in sometime in the late 70s. Hmm. And so we were up there then. That was a wild place. I will tell you that.
I've never been there.
It was pretty wild. I didn't know anything. Well, never mind. Those stories would be too involved. I can't tell you any Callaghan stories. Callaghan was a weirdo to start with, but I found that most people from New Jersey are pretty crazy, so. Let me put it this way. We went to a party at one of his friends' house. It was on the ocean in a house. They had a live band there, which I'd never been to. Some guy throws a party and has a live band. They had kegs of, at the time, it was really classy, Genesee Cream Ale.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they still make that or not.
I think I've seen Genesee.
Really?
I've never seen the Cream Ale before.
I mean, every time I'd go somewhere, it was Budweiser or Pabst Blue Ribbon or something. Go to this party, it had kegs sitting around of Genesee Cream Ale. Well, I go in there, and we're standing around drinking a couple of beers, and suddenly there's the doorbell rings. It's the cops. Somebody's called the cops because of all the noise. So the kid who answers the door is standing there talking to him. While he's talking to him, some other kid goes out the back door and comes around and grabs the hats off of the two cops at the door and takes off running down the street. Well, naturally, the two cops take off running after the guy. Some other guy at that point runs out of the house, jumps in the cop car, and drove off with the cop car.
My Lord.
I looked at Callaghan and I said, Callaghan, we got to go. This is not the kind of party I'm on. And everybody else was laughing. It's like, this is common in New Jersey. This is what we do, man.
Wow.
And I said, I led a simple life growing up in Huntington, West Virginia, and this is way beyond what I can cope with.
You sound scarred from that.
I said, let's go. We got to go before they bring reinforcements. And I got out of there fast.
Yeah, I don't think that... Probably anywhere. I don't think that would fly anymore. That's.
I would hope not.
Yeah.
I couldn't even believe, but they did it all in fun. It wasn't malicious.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they weren't trying to hurt anybody. They just thought that was fun. That's what you do. You mess with the cops. Whew. Anyway, New Jersey. It is illegal to wear a bulletproof vest while committing a murder.
Yep. Actually, the statute reads there's a couple other crimes, too. And I guess it's just one of those things.
That's, attempted murder.
Yeah.
Which, as we've discussed before, I think it's the same thing. I don't think there should be attempted murder. Right. If you shot him, you meant to kill him.
Well, there's also like kidnapping and some other things in there, too.
Right.
So any of your more serious type crimes, if you wear a bulletproof vest while you commit it, that's actually an extra charge they can charge you with. So you know, it's a felony.
Do you think it's not so much that they're trying to prevent anything other than they just want to make it a fair fight?
I think they're trying to enhance sentencing.
Oh, is that what it is?
An extra crime.
But now look, you say, all right, we're going to sentence you first degree murder. I don't know whether they have the death penalty or not, but we're going to try you for first degree murder. Oh, and by the way, we're also going to charge you with wearing a bulletproof vest. Well, you know what? If I beat the murder rap, I'll worry about that bulletproof vest thing. But in the meantime, I assume the murder rap will take precedence.
That's true. I think the way that was written, though, that I think is if you wear it in the commission of one of those acts. So probably you have to be convicted of the underlying crime in order for that crime to be convicted of that one. So like sometimes you'll get jury verdicts where we'll have inconsistent verdicts. So like if a jury found somebody not guilty of murder, but then found them guilty of wearing a bulletproof vest while committing a murder, then that would be an inconsistent verdict. And so the jury.
Wait a minute. That's inconsistent because if they found you not guilty of committing murder, they can't find you guilty of wearing a vest while committing a murder because you didn't commit a murder because they already found you innocent.
That's what I'm saying. So that would be an issue where like that would be an inconsistent verdict by the jury. So there'd be some sort of clarification for that.
It's something you just tack on to somebody that did a murder.
Right.
But
so that's what I'm saying.
If you're already convicted of murder, how much more is that life jacket going to cost you?
Yeah, probably not.
The murder is the main point.
Some of this may have been like knee-jerk reaction. Remember there was that L.A. shootout on TV?
Where the gunman outgunned the cops. They had better weapons and they had bulletproof vests and the cops had neither.
Yeah, kind of like that. It was like basically the scene in the shootout in Heat, that movie. They almost kind of did that same thing. I remember watching that on TV. It was crazy, though.
You know the shootout that really wasn't fair?
What's that?
The one at the end of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah.
Now that was not fair. They weren't wearing bulletproof vests.
No. They didn't have any bullets in their guns, did they?
I don't think they had many. They even if they were full, it didn't matter.
I think at the end, were they out of bullets and they ran out?
I don't know if they were out of bullets, but we said like you take the ones on the right, you take the ones on the left, and they didn't realize they were facing a whole battalion.
That's right.
Yeah, they were surrounded by the Bolivian army.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie in so long.
Oh, it's a great movie.
It is a good movie.
There's a guy that I went to college with that claims he was a stuntman in that movie.
I like that. That's a good quality like type lie. The story you can neither confirm nor deny.
I know. I mean, he claims that he did the stand-in work for Robert Redford when they jumped off that cliff into the water, and on the way down, he was, oh, shit, on the way down, hey. He said that he came out with that as he jumped. It was just impromptu. It wasn't planned. He wasn't supposed to say it. It just, when he jumped, that came out, and they kept it in the movie. Now, probably none of that is true, but this guy swore up and down. And he was a senior, and I was a freshman, so who was I to question him?
Yeah. Oh, that's cool, man. Cool.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Give me a beer.
Yeah. Pass one of those Genesee Cream Ales over here.
All right, let's see here. Moving on from New Jersey.
Number nine.
Number 99999. We go to North Dakota. North Dakota, it seems.
Go to North Dakota. No one else has.
What?
I said go to North Dakota. No one else has.
Hey, there's a lot of people there. Charlie Rogers is in North Dakota.
Who?
Charlie Rogers. He's one of our followers. He ordered one of our t-shirts.
No way.
Fargo, North Dakota. He's from Fargo, the home of the movie.
Hey, Charlie Rogers in North Dakota.
Yeah. That's right. So we do know somebody up there. He went there. I don't know if he went there by choice or was born there, but he's there.
Yeah.
Nonetheless.
Oh, it's beautiful up there. I just don't think it's very sparsely populated.
It's cold there, too, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's pretty cold here today, too, I think.
Well, yeah, but I bet it's not like North Dakota.
No, North Dakota's probably a different level of cold.
Yeah, you got to wear long johns year round up there. They got two seasons, July and winter. All right, so North Dakota, where was I? It is illegal to clone or attempt to clone a human. Apparently, they're the only state that doesn't believe in cloning.
I think when I was researching that, there was a federal law that was trying to be passed back in 2003 by George Bush. And so I think there's actually a couple other states that have kind of passed legislation like that. I think Michigan was one, I think, and North Dakota. There's a couple others, but it's not a federal law, but it's, I think there's a couple states that are on board with that.
Well, this is the only state that we could find that we found the statute on the books.
Oh, well, I think there are some others.
They have some other type of wording that doesn't come directly out and call it that or something.
Yeah, it has to do with, like, human cells and stuff like that, I think, so.
Well, it'd be hard to clone a human without human cells. Human cells. That's the way we used to talk down in Waycross.
Are you using human cells to clone me?
I was down there at the beach when we were living in Waycross. We'd gone down to Tampa, actually Indian Rocks Beach, to go to the beach. And I had Sydney and Taylor with me. It was well before Riley was born. Mary had some kind of dance certification that she had gone to. We were down there, and they were having the red tide in the Gulf at the time.
Oh, those are horrible.
Which means there was nothing but seaweed and dead fish on the beach everywhere and in the surf. So you basically couldn't swim. But we were out there one day building a sandcastle and cleared out an area, and we're building a sandcastle because I had two little kids and they needed to do something.
Right.
So we're out there building a sandcastle, and a news guy from the local news station walks up, says, "Hello there, this is Sammy Go Getter," or whatever his name was, "from station Channel 4. What, can we have your comments on the red tide?" I said, "Sure." So she went over. So the guy went over to Sydney first and said, "What do you think about this?" And like I say, we were coming up in Waycross, Georgia, and she said, "You have to watch where you walk in so you don't step on any dead fish." Well, you know, we know fish only has one syllable.
Yeah.
But she being down there, it had two, fish. And so then the guy went over to Taylor and said, "What do you think about it?" And Taylor, being a girl of few words, just looked at him and said, "Yuck." So that was the extent of our news camera time.
That's perfect. But I've actually been on the red tide, been seen a red tide where it's so bad you can't even be on the beach. Like, it burns your lungs to breathe it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
There was smell, but it was this rotting seaweed and fish.
Oh, sometimes it can be like almost like a pepper spray type. Like, it makes your eyes water. You can't even be out there. It's horrible.
Well, I don't know about it wasn't that bad. We were out there and we could play in the sand, but and there were some days you could kind of go in the water a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, to me, I can't stand seaweed washing up against my body and wrapping around my ankles and all that. That's not fun.
A real bad red tide event, though, is like almost like chemical warfare.
Oh, yeah. Dead fish floating everywhere.
Yeah.
It's bad. All right. So don't clone anybody in North Dakota. All right.
Ocho? Number 8.
Oh, number 8. Ocho Cinco.
No, just Ocho. Cinco's in 3.
Oh.
Cinco's in Trace.
Huh?
Just Ocho now.
Cinco's 5, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't that what's his name for the Bengals used to call
Ocho
himself?
Cinco?
Ocho Cinco?
Yeah.
He changed his name to that, didn't he?
I think, yeah, legally he did.
I forget what his real name was.
It was Ocho Cinco. That was Chad Johnson? No.
Well, might be.
I can't remember.
Chad something. Sounds right.
Yeah, I think it was him.
Oh, well. It's neither here nor there. All right. Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Where the wind whistles over the plains or something to that effect. Oklahoma. Bear wrestling and horse tripping are illegal.
Yeah, that's true. I actually researched this one and found this one on the books. But the thing is, it's I think if you wanted to wrestle a bear yourself without doing a promotion for it.
Just go out in the wild and see a bear and say, "Hey, I'm going to wrestle you."
Yeah.
You're out there wearing your Speedo or whatever you call those things they wear.
You square up to a bear. Yeah, I think you can do that. And horse tripping, I really don't know what horse tripping is, but you can't promote a show doing it.
Now, I've never been involved in horse tripping. I have been involved in cow tipping.
Yes,
that's a totally different thing, I would assume. At least it's a different animal. But, but who, I mean, okay, bear wrestling, I understand. I mean, at some point, people became civilized enough to say, "Hey, that's abusing animals."
Right, and also the statute says something about like injecting them with drugs and basically drugging them so they're more sedate. Blowing them shotguns.
You can't do that.
What?
You can't blow them shotguns.
What do you mean, blow a shotgun?
Man, were you never a young guy? That's when you take a joint and you turn it around, and you put the lid in, and you blow from that end out so that it shotguns it back into the other person. You give somebody a shotgun.
I'm aware of this, yes.
I mean, I wouldn't know anything about it personally, but I've heard of the practice.
Yes, I may have actually seen it in practice.
In high school. What did you call it? Did you call it something different? Was it not shotgunning?
I don't know what they called it. I just saw somebody do one time. I was like, huh.
Well, I would never want to put the lid end of something in my mouth.
It just seems like a bad idea.
I know. But apparently it works, because I know the smoke comes gushing out when you do that.
Yeah. I can think of better things to do with my time.
Don't try this at home, kids.
Yeah, don't shotgun a lewd.
Or a bear.
Or a bear.
Don't shotgun a bear. It has nothing to do with shooting them. But you're not allowed to drug them before you wrestle them. It's got to be a fair fight. And then you can't have anybody pay to watch it. It cannot be a spectacle. This is not a blind pig.
No spectacles. No blind pigs.
So it would be an excuse to sell alcohol because you have a blind pig or whatever. We're going to do a bear. But the horse tripping, I don't know. I mean, do you do that with a rope? It can't be like the old classic, the horses walking by, you stick your foot out and trip them, right?
Well, maybe it's like cow tipping, but you sweep the leg.
Like, you sweep the leg?
Yeah.
Like, but there's four of them. You could sweep one leg. They still got three on the ground. They're not going to go down.
Well, maybe you get two of your friends to sweep the leg.
Now, a cow, to properly tip one, you wait till they're asleep.
Right.
And you go up and you attack from the flank and hit one side and it makes them fall over. But you better get the hell out of there, because when they get up, they're pissed.
And there might be a bull in there too, right?
You got to be careful. You don't want to catch the bull.
Yeah.
Yeah. You better make sure you're tipping a cow and not a bull, because that'll be the last animal you tip, trip, or otherwise.
Or wrestle.
Tip, trip, or pilfer. Or wrestle.
No bear wrestling around here.
No bear wrestling. You got to be clothed. You got to be bear to wrestle the bear. That's what makes it a fair fight. All right. Moving along. Rhode Island. This is number...
Seven.
Seven? Number seven. Seven swans a swimming?
Seven turtle doves?
No, it's two turtle doves.
Oh, I don't know.
You were way off on that one.
Well, you know.
I believe it's seven swans a swimming at this point. Rhode Island is our number seven. That may be a small state, but they have big laws. Intentionally biting off someone's limb is mandatory prison time.
Yeah, it was no less. It must be 1 year.
Here's what I want to know, though. Do they have to determine if it was intentionally? I mean, could you accidentally bite off somebody's limb and that's okay?
I think the law said something about slitting somebody's nose or lip and other things, too. So I think it's like kind of, or putting out their eye. I think it was like kind of a general.
General catch-all?
Yeah, it was like a general, you can't hack off or maim someone's body parts.
In any way.
In any way. But you know what was
concerning? But I mean, if I'm thinking about hacking off somebody's arm, biting it off doesn't come to mind. I mean, if I'm a bear and I was wrestling the guy,
yeah,
maybe then. But I'm not going to bite off somebody's arm. I mean, could you imagine how much diligence, how strong would your teeth have to be to get through a humerus or femur?
It'd be funnily strong to bite through a humerus.
Funnily strong?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be funny.
No. You know what? That statute was conspicuously absent from lopping off or maiming or biting off.
Oh, well, it said nothing about genitalia.
It did not.
Was that where Lorena Bobbitt was?
I don't think
so. When she performed her removal procedure?
I don't know. That was probably California. Most of those crazy cases back in the 90s seemed to happen in California.
Well, you know, after she removed the... organ. Mm-hmm. She took it with her and drove off down the road with it.
Yeah, I think that. Didn't she throw it off into some brush or something?
Well, the way I heard it is that she threw it out the window and it actually landed on the windshield of an old couple that was driving behind her. And and the lady said, "Damn, Henry, did you see that?" He said, "Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how big was the bug that had it."
Oh, I don't think that happened.
You don't think so?
No.
They did find it by the side of the road and reattached it.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Have you ever heard that song by King Missile called Detachable Penis?
No, I can't say I have.
Oh, it's a classic.
Did you know that John Bobbitt later went and made a porn movie?
I did know that.
And it was called John Bobbitt Uncut.
That's a great name.
It's, seriously, I mean, it's, you can't make that up, folks.
Say what you want about porn. They do have some pretty entertaining names for their movies.
They do have some. Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank your Yule log.
I'm not saying it was a log.
Oh, my. All right. Moving right along. Utah comes in next. Now, Utah is notoriously known for alcohol laws, nudity laws. They really don't like any of that kind of stuff.
Nope.
They really want you to be a good boy or good girl. They don't want you to be involved in any type of aberrations.
No.
So in Utah, and we researched this to make sure it was right, because there's a lot of these things that we read. And by the way, this is number 6.
Correct.
There's a lot of these things that we read that we found to be urban legends or unverified. We couldn't find where they're still in the book, yeah, so they've been repealed.
They may have been a law at some time, but we couldn't actually find the text for it.
That's right. So we only want to bring you the real ones. So in Utah, restaurants that serve alcohol must have a curtain up around the bar or area where the drinks are prepared so that minors cannot see the actual bottles of booze. This curtain is known as a Zion curtain.
Yeah. I saw some pictures of it. It's basically like a frosted glass that's covers a part of the bar area where they have to make the drinks.
Or it may actually be a curtain.
Or it could be a curtain. But most of your classier joints, I think, have that nice frosted glass.
Are you saying Utah doesn't have any non-classy joints?
I don't know.
Do they have any like low rent joints? Well, dive bars? I'm Are there sure. no dive bars in Utah?
The law was actually repealed at some point.
Well, it's not now, though. It's still good.
Yeah, I think it's still good. So, they're...
What do you mean you think? It is!
Well, I think it was repealed at one point, but then they brought it back, actually. Because, and the weird thing was, is that the majority of people that live in Utah actually don't want to have it. They took a poll, and it was said they didn't want to have it.
I'll bet, but I know why they brought it back.
Why is that?
Because of another law that they have.
What's that?
It is against the law to cause a catastrophe. And it probably was causing catastrophes, all these children seeing bottles of booze. And then what did they do? They saw these bottles of booze and went, now I know where it comes from. I've got to go have it.
Causing catastrophe.
The minor drinking went up and caused a catastrophe.
That's probably unverifiable.
Maybe so, but that might be what it was. It is actually true that Utah does have a law that you cannot, it's against the law to create a catastrophe.
Yeah, and it defines catastrophe as like to cause like a fire,
flood, avalanche.
Like yeah, all these crazy, fire, crazy things.
Oh, we said fire.
Yeah, fire.
They really don't like fires.
No, they hate fire.
The fires of hell, damn you.
So the Utah, you get 2 for 1 on that one. We gave you the Zion curtain and the catastrophe.
And the catastrophe.
So those are 2 for. We love you, Utah.
See you, wouldn't want to be you.
Don't see you making drinks.
Yeah, that's right. Where did that drink come from? I never even saw any booze in here. It must be a magic trick. Are all the bartenders magicians in Utah?
It came from Zion.
It came from Zion.
Or at least the curtain.
Well, they have the group that plays in the bar must be the Kings of Zion.
I saw this this funny little political cartoon, and it was a... It was two guys standing there, and one of them said something. It's like, we need to put a curtain or a wall around this aberration so it doesn't harm our children. And it was a wall, but it was around the Utah legislature. Was the picture?
That's about right, huh?
Yeah. I saw another cartoon too. It said something. I wonder how many other religions have their own legislature. So, I think the Mormon lobby's pretty strong there.
All right, so we've made it down to 5 golden rings.
Cinco
de Mayo.
No, that's a different holiday.
You know, I was thinking about that, though, when Taylor was with us last week.
Mm-hmm.
And December 5th was repeal day, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And so you're supposed to go out and get hammered, right?
Yeah.
Well, May 5th is Cinco de Mayo, right?
Yeah.
You're supposed to go out and get hammered. Five is apparently a lucky number. A lot of people think it's three, but I think five is a luckier number because it forces you to go celebrate more.
Well, whenever I pick a number for...
25 is Christmas is on 25. Yeah. There's another five.
Whenever I pick a number for any sport, like my soccer number is always 15, but if I'm picking a jersey, I'll grab five too. Yes, 15 or five. I like to have a five in there.
Those were my two favorite numbers too when I picked a sports jersey.
Really? 15?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
5 and 15.
I did not know that.
Well, it was for two players back in the day.
Number five would have been Johnny Unitas.
Brooks Robinson.
Brooks Robinson.
Yeah, he was my favorite baseball player.
He was 15.
15 was Bart Starr.
Oh, Bart Starr.
Green Bay Packers.
I knew it had to be one of those old school quarterbacks.
Yeah, he was my favorite football player back in the day.
Yeah.
So those I'd always pick 5 or 15. Now, as I got older, I went for 13 because I decided anybody that had to play against me was unlucky.
That's pretty ominous.
So I took lucky 13. It's unlucky for you. It's lucky for me.
My number ended up getting changed, though, to number 1 because I became the goalkeeper. So I didn't have much of a choice, and it's like, oh, you're number 1.
You're number 1, and they gave you your own one-finger salute?
Usually, yeah.
That's how they called you number 1, huh? All right. Five golden. We didn't do that yet, though.
No, we
just said that.
Yeah. Number 5, we can talk about.
You threw me off. I was ready to go to number 4, and I never even said what number 5 was.
We can just talk about numbers the whole time.
Playing numbers. All right. 5 golden rings. Virginia, the state for lovers, right?
Yeah. Virginia's for lovers.
Virginia is for lovers.
East Virginia.
The Bim Bam, the headed. A good discussion about whether it's proper to call a couple lovers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And Travis put forth the notion that it's okay to call them young lovers, but the other two didn't agree. So anyway, well, that's not a good term.
He is a sexpert, although if he has a degree in it,
I've never seen it. All right, Virginia. Having sex without being married is a Class 4 misdemeanor. With a fine for conviction of up to $250. So that means that in essence, if you get fined and you pay $250, then you just paid for sex, which again runs afoul of the law because you can't pay for sex either. That's against the law.
That sounds like some...
It's like a double whammy.
Johnny Cochran type defense counsel reasoning there.
If the condom don't fit, you must acquit. Is that what you mean?
Oh, there's too many jokes here. I can't even.
They're crazy laws. It's the 12 crazy laws of Christmas. They got to be crazy. They lend themselves to it.
Yeah, I can't believe that's a law. It's amazing.
It is. So if there is no premarital sex allowed, if you're living with your partner, they're going to come arrest you. Class 4 misdemeanor.
And that's in Virginia. So that's why we say West Virginia is the best Virginia.
That's right. Virginia is not for lovers, if that's what they're...
That's true.
If they're committing that. You know, that's false advertising. We should get them for false advertising. Let's get together and form a class action suit against Virginia for false advertising.
Virginia is for lovers who have subjugated themselves to the laws of Virginia, therefore...
Have been joined asunder with a piece of paper... And are legally bound in marriage. The rest of you poor drones, you're master of your own domain.
Master of your own domain. So a marriage license is basically would be like a license to have sex.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they should call it a sex license.
A sex license?
Yes. I'm going to apply for my sex license. As soon as we do it, we're going to get a divorce. And then I'm going to look for a sex license to go out with another girl.
Would you like to get a sex license with me? Would you like to get a sex license with me and a pizza?
Yeah, you don't propose to get married.
You don't like pizza?
You know, we've been going together for a while, and I'd like to know would you like to get a sex license with me? It's nothing permanent. It's just for a while. Then we can have it destroyed.
Yeah. It's either that, or we can have sex and face possible $250 fine. Whatever you think.
Let's see. I'm a little short this week. Can we wait till payday? All right. We're whittling them down. That was number 5. We're down to number 4.
That's right.
All right, number four comes from our own great state, the state of West Virginia.
All right, West Virginia.
Which is sort of a state of mind, but almost heaven. Anyone, now this would have eliminated Aaron Burr, Alexander Hamilton, Andrew Jackson, all these, Abraham Lincoln, none of them could have held office in West Virginia. Because anyone who has engaged in a duel, challenged someone to a duel, or acted as a second in a duel cannot hold state office. And that's been verified that it's still on the books. So, yeah, you know, we got to make sure that none of our legislators have been involved in any of these things, or we're going to have them removed.
That might be a good way to get them out of there. Challenge them to a duel.
Challenge them to a duel, and then they would have to drop out. Huh.
Well, I guess we need to figure out what means being involved in one means, actually.
Well, it says if you were engaged in a duel, so that means, I guess that means you would actually have to have gone there. And even if you wasted your shot through, you know, you shot it in the air or shot it into the ground, whatever.
What was that called?
I can't remember that term now.
A delope?
That sounds right. Deloping?
Maybe.
You got a better memory than me. I'm barely hanging on. I can barely find my way to work and back home each day.
I don't know if that was right or not.
Well, that sounds right. We'll say it's right.
Sure.
It's not elope.
No. That's what you do in Virginia when you want to have sex.
That's right. You run over across the border to West Virginia. We don't care who you have sex with. But if you engage in it or challenge someone, so if you issued a challenge, even if the guy didn't take it, that would still disqualify you.
I say, sir, I challenge you to a duel. Then you slap him across the face with a glove.
Are you Yosemite Sam?
Yeah. I think that was Foghorn Leghorn.
I say, boy, I'm a chicken hawk. all right. Or you act as a second. Don't act as a second. And usually a second was trying to smooth things over.
Yeah.
And make it so they didn't. But still, it disqualified you. So don't get involved in anybody's dueling business.
If I was going to choose a second for a duel, if I was going to have a duel, my second would be just another pistol, because that's how tough I am.
I would arm my second and tell him, shoot him in the back.
Then you shoot the other guy dueling in the back, I'll shoot his second in the back, and then we both shoot the doctor, and then we just walk away.
Well, because that's one sport you don't want to finish second in.
No.
You know when they say second place is the first loser?
Yeah.
That's really true for the sport of dueling.
That is true.
Number three.
Yes, Trace.
Yes. Number three. Now, this one, we have seen proof. This comes to us from the state of New Mexico. They have a law on the books that says idiots may not vote. That's right. Idiots may not vote. Now, Hillary Clinton won New Mexico. So I guess the idiots were kept away. I don't know.
You can make your own decision about what that means, but that's how I'm going to go ahead and reason that out. But that law about idiots not being allowed to vote, it's not just a law that's passed that says idiots shall not vote. It's a law which talks about who can vote. You have to be over 21. It has different time frames. You have to have been a resident of New Mexico for a year. You have to have lived in a county for 90 days and different things like that. But then it lays out that says if you're an idiot, you can't vote. An idiot being like a kind of somewhat archaic term, I believe, for somebody who has a lesser mental capacity.
Oh, no. It further defined that.
Did it?
It had in there Tommy Smurl is a deciding factor as to whether you're an idiot or not.
If he's
driving on the road and he has called you an idiot for getting in his way or cutting him off or something, then you're an idiot. So you can't vote.
I don't think anybody in the state of Southern Ohio would be allowed to vote then.
No, they wouldn't.
You've caught a lot of...
No, they wouldn't. Especially the ones that come across the bridge over here and immediately make a left turn and drive the wrong way up the one-way street right in front of my office. Those are definitely idiots.
That happens probably...
Every day.
Well, at least a couple times a day, right?
Yeah.
Well, at least once a day.
I mean, they come up and they turn left and drive right up a one-way street the wrong way. And the very next road they come to, as they realize it, and they say, oh, I'm driving the wrong way on one-way street, they turn right onto the next road, and that road is one way the other way. So they're still going the wrong way on a one-way street. We get that all the time. There's wrecks out there constantly. Yeah. Look out, and you see somebody go by and say, there goes another guy from Ohio. No wonder their license plate says, are your seatbelts fastened? They used to. They don't say that anymore. No. I think that's why they changed it, though, because they were getting that joke.
They say birthplace of aviation now, don't they?
I don't think I've seen that.
Is that North Carolina? I don't know.
Yeah, Kitty Hawk's in North Carolina.
Yeah.
That's the birthplace of aviation. Although I think there was some kind of fight over it, wasn't there?
I believe so, yeah.
There's some kind of argument over who did it first or something. I don't know.
Well, it's evidently also like there's the guy in Brazil during the Olympic opening ceremonies where they did that whole thing with the flight who he claims maybe to have flown before the Wright brothers, but...
A guy from Brazil?
Yeah, it was during the opening
ceremonies. And he's still alive?
No. It was like some sort of tribute to him.
I didn't see that. I must have missed that part of the Olympics.
Did you not watch the opening ceremonies?
I don't think so.
Oh, the pageantry. I love it.
I'm not in it for the pageantry. I'm in for the blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah, I think the only pageantry that I watched is the opening.
The ones in, was it Japan the time before? Those talk about pageantry, all the lights and everything.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. Was it Japan or China?
I don't remember.
It's one of those two. I can't remember, though.
I think there was one in China as well, wasn't there? No, I don't know. Has the Olympics been in China?
You know what? We don't know crap.
No.
We'll just skip all this, as you were.
Yeah. Move along here. Nothing to see.
We'll edit that part.
Yeah.
Move along. Nothing to see here. Number two. This is your two turtle doves. No, wait a minute. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Two turtle doves.
Number two.
I skipped one.
The deuce.
Michigan.
You going to drop the deuce on them, Tommy?
I'm dropping a deuce.
All right. Drop the deuce.
All right. Michigan. Adultery is a felony, punishable by up to 4 years in jail and a $5,000 fine. And both parties are subject to that, even if the other is unmarried.
Yeah.
So if you step outside your marriage with someone else, you are committing a felony that you may go to jail for. And the person, even if the person you're... committing this offense with is not married, they're guilty of adultery too, and you both may go to jail and pay a fine. $5,000.
That's crazy. There are actually some civil laws too, where cause of actions for alienation of affection, where you can actually sue somebody for breaking up your marriage and things like that. But those have kind of gone.
But that's more along the reason for your divorce, though, right?
No, it's actually a civil.
Or how you get out of the settlement of your divorce
You could sue a person for alienating the affection.
Oh, so that's outside of the actual divorce.
Yeah, it's something separate. You could get a monetary settlement because they basically stole the affection of your spouse. So, but that actually...
Can you sue the person that they had the affair with or the person, your spouse?
No, the person they had the affair with.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, but that doesn't really happen anymore, though. That was like one of those things that's kind of gone.
Come and gone.
Yeah, so kind of like... And, you know, that law in Michigan's pretty archaic, too. I would bet that that law is not... I bet no one's prosecuted for that law in quite some time. Unless you steal the prosecutor's wife, and then...
He may bring that one out of mothballs.
Yeah, that one may come out.
All right, now, before we reveal our number one, I wanted to run over a few that we found that were on the internet. You know, Mike, I don't know if you know this or not. I have discovered that not everything on the internet is accurate.
Really?
Yes. Can you believe that?
I cannot believe that. That's amazing.
If there is one place that would be a sole source of completely accurate information, I would think it would be the internet, Facebook, you know, any of those kind of things. Whatever you read, it should be true, right?
Yeah.
Well, apparently they're not all true. Some of them have been repealed. Some of these things have been repealed. Some of them, we can't even verify if they ever even existed.
Yeah.
But just to quickly run through some of them. Arizona, donkeys may not sleep in bathtubs. Unverified. Alaska. I mean, I had the wrong abbreviation there. Alaska, you cannot give a moose a beer. I don't know why you'd want to give up one of your beers anyway. Indiana, you cannot fish with your bare hands.
Well, I can almost see that actually being a real law because of the noodling.
Noodling?
Yeah, you know what noodling is?
I know what canoodling is.
Noodling is
I know what spooning is.
Noodling is where you actually take you stick your hand in a hole where a catfish is, and you latch onto your hand, and you pull it out.
Well, why couldn't you do that? That's the only way to get those things out of there.
Yeah, that or chicken livers. That's what I always used.
You know what? You don't want to reach in there and get one of those giant snapping turtles.
No.
That would not be fun. Did you see where they pulled a 53-pound one out of a drain pipe?
No, I didn't.
A 53-pound alligator snapping turtle. They pulled it out of a drain pipe. The drain pipe wasn't draining very good. So they went in and opened it up to see why it wasn't draining, and they found a 53-pound alligator snapping turtle. It looked like something from the dinosaur days.
Wow, how did it get so big?
I don't know. I guess it just sat in there and ate all the crap that floated by.
Like radioactive.
Yeah.
Those things supposedly, once they bite a hold of you, they don't let go till it lightens or till they hear thunder.
Well, that's a crab. I don't know. That's what Uncle Billy used to tell me about crabs. Oh, that's right.
You said that in the thing, too. Yeah. Supposedly snapping turtles, too. I always heard that.
Well, that may be. But they found three other dead ones that were trapped behind this one that was still alive. This one's still alive. They found three other dead ones, not quite as big.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Where were we? Okay. You cannot fish with your bare hands in Indiana. Iowa. Hops have to be packaged in 36-inch boxes. And they also have another law that says one-armed piano players must perform for free. I don't know. Unverified. Like I say, unverified. May not still be there. For some reason, people thought it was. Let's see. Mississippi. There is no problem with having one illegitimate child, but if you have a second illegitimate child, it is a misdemeanor.
I can almost see a state rationale for that as far as like trying to prevent children from being, you know, maybe not taken care of, but I don't know. I mean, obviously, I don't think that would stand up to constitutional scrutiny.
I wonder. In North Carolina, stealing used kitchen grease is a crime.
In where?
North Carolina. Don't steal any used kitchen grease. Let's see here. Ohio, it is illegal to give fish alcohol. I don't even know how you do that. I mean, unless you flooded the whole river or something like that. I'm not sure how you give fish alcohol. I can't imagine you holding one up and pouring it in its fish lips. I'm not sure how that would work. Texas says, when drinking beer, you can only take 3 sips while standing up. Anything beyond that, you must be sitting down. So I guess they're trying to prevent slips, trips, and falls, perhaps. Fresno, California. A man may legally beat his wife, but only once a month. Okay, well, I'm sure that must be a passé law. I had to have come off the book, say, in 1832.
If it was ever even on there.
Yeah, we don't know for sure. Here's another one that we don't know if it was ever on there, but it certainly was proliferated on the internet. In Georgia, you cannot keep an ice cream cone in your back pocket on Sundays.
Yeah, I searched and searched. I could not find that anywhere.
Monday through Saturday, it's okay to have one back there, but don't have one in your back pocket on Sundays.
There's also, seems like that was a common theme in Alabama as well, that same law.
Well, they are close to each other.
Yeah.
Maybe next door.
Yeah, I think maybe one of the things was the urban legend that started out and then just kind of...
Or some guy from Georgia crossed the border when he wasn't allowed to have one in his back pocket on Sundays and went to Alabama, so Alabama had to pass a law because it was a rash of them breaking out.
Yeah.
Michigan. Women cannot cut their hair without their husband's permission. Again, I think that was probably an old one that was on the books. Now, this is one that it has no rhyme or reason, so it has to have been a fake one, but it's on the internet. Whale fishing is illegal in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Now, am I mistaken, or is Nebraska landlocked?
As of right now, it is.
I don't understand that, but anyway,
it's they're preparing for the future.
In Washington State, a motorist with criminal intent must stop at the city limits and phone the chief of police as he is entering the town. That sounds like the 1920s and gangsters and stuff like that, you know?
Listen here. I'm here to rob the bank. You hear
me? Yeah, yeah. You can't stop me. See?
Stay away
see?
From
I'm going to do it. I'm going to rub you out. I'm going to rub you out. You see?
Don't mess with my skirt, neither.
Yeah, doll. Let's go.
The North Carolina grease law, actually, that's a law.
I didn't say it wasn't. Well, you found that you said
these are unverifiable or whatever. So
right.
But actually... Yeah, it was passed in 2012 to keep people from stealing grease from restaurants.
Because that's a common thing?
I don't know.
I don't know what you do with grease from restaurants, but I can tell you this. I have never once had the urge to steal grease from a restaurant.
No, not even once.
No, never have that crossed my mind. The last one, I know that this one was on the books in Waynesboro, Virginia. It is illegal for a woman to drive a car on Main Street unless her husband is walking in front of the car and waving a red flag. Now, apparently, this was on the books, but we contacted the chief of police, and he assured us that this was removed from the books 25 to 30 years ago, and they have made a conscientious effort to remove all outdated laws since that time, and that still persists, that people still repeat that, and they understand that, but that it no longer exists. So we were glad to find that out, that law has been repealed. Because I just can't picture somebody running down the street ahead of their wife driving the car waving a red flag so they can drive on Main Street.
No, that doesn't make much sense at all.
I can't believe it was ever a law in the first place.
I mean, maybe the guy who wanted that law passed is the guy who sold red flags.
But here's the thing I'm thinking about. 30 years ago, to me, that wasn't a long time ago. 30 years ago was the 80s.
Yeah. Well, you got to think, like, sometimes they pass these laws for, like, some sort of knee-jerk reason, and then they're on the books.
They languish on the books.
Yeah, but nobody ever uses them. Nobody ever sees them.
Until somebody on the internet sees it. See, probably about the same time the internet started developing is when they said, oh, we got to get rid of this. People are writing about us on the internet. We're becoming a laughingstock.
I remember when I was...
Next thing you know, a guy with an ice cream cone in his back pocket is going to show up.
When I was a law clerk here in West Virginia for a judge, I found that it was illegal to wear a hat in a theater in West Virginia. And I knew it was on the books at that time because I remember I saw it in the code book. And I kind of looked that up for this episode when we were doing it. Evidently, it was repealed in 2010. And there was about six or seven laws in West Virginia that they repealed in 2010 that were kind of like that. Those real old books, they just kind of, I guess they finally decided to clean it up a little bit.
But you know what they added on in 2010 that we didn't list in here? But it's here and in Missouri, I think, is the other state.
What's that?
The roadkill bill.
Oh.
Where it's okay to eat anything you run over. It used to be against the law. If you ran over a possum or you ran over a deer, you couldn't eat it. Now you can.
Well, I think that's a good law. And let me tell you
why. I'm not sure that it's worth passing a law one way or the other. You know, if you want to eat something
it shouldn't
hanging
shouldn't,
out of your bumper, go ahead.
It shouldn't be a crime. But here's why I think it's a good law. Because otherwise, if you hit a deer, then it's going to sit on the side of the road, or you have to have some sort of public works come out and clean it up, which, I mean, that's going to take forever. So I think if you hit it and you want to take it home with you, then that's fine.
Have you ever seen Tommy Boy?
Yes, I have.
You take your life in your hands if you're going to load one in your car and take it home.
Well, I mean, here in West Virginia, now we have the open carry law. Probably everybody has a gun. They can just walk out and finish it off.
Yeah. So when that deer starts jumping around your car and you're shooting it, that don't worry. You know, the driver doesn't need to worry about you shooting that gun off around it while the deer's running around the car.
Well, I'm not. If he's running around, he's obviously fine. I'm saying if he's like laying there, you know, putting him out of his misery type. I'm not saying you're gonna like hunt. I think like a humane type thing.
Yeah, right. The deer's still alive. Let it out of the car. I'm not a hunter. You're a hunter. I'm not a hunter.
Yeah. Well, I
couldn't shoot one of them. We put out salt licks and food in our backyard to attract them so we can sit there and drink coffee and look at the deer in our backyard.
Oh, I love looking at them. Actually, I rescued one out of your backyard. Got stuck in your neighbor's fence.
Got stuck in the neighbor's wrought iron fence and you pulled it free.
Yeah. I got blood all over me too.
Deer blood.
Yeah.
You could have made some Jägermeister. Isn't that what they say? Jägermeister has deer blood in it?
Allegedly. That's why it has the
So it says on the internet.
Yeah, everything on the internet's true. Well, I think we're ready for number one now, right?
This is our partridge in a pear tree.
All right, well, let's do a drum roll, but the truth be told is I can't do a drum roll, so.
You'll be like the old guy on Christmas Vacation. Number one comes to us from the state of Washington.
This is my favorite.
you may not harass or kill Bigfoot or Sasquatch. This is found under the Undiscovered Species Act.
Yeah. Undiscovered Species Protection Act. And it says, it's written kind of like very poetically too. Whereas there is evidence to indicate the possible existence of undiscovered species, primate, mammal, variously described as Bigfoot, Sasquatch, an ape-like creature or a subspecies of Homo sapiens. Whereas reported recent and past sightings, research by anthropologists, primatologists, biologists, forensic experts, cryptozoologists, independent organizations, private individuals, and the famous chimpanzee researcher Jane Goodall support the possibility.
Gorillas in the mist.
Yeah, so they say basically, you know, it's actually a criminal to kill any undiscovered species like this. They're trying to protect Bigfoot.
And don't harass him.
Yeah, no harassing.
I just see sitting out there, a bunch of guys sitting out there, stoners, drinking or smoking dope or whatever, sitting around a campfire, and Bigfoot walks up. They start throwing beer cans at him. Hey, you're harassing Bigfoot. You're under arrest.
Or taunt him with their beef jerky.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, I wonder where they're at when they do that. That's encouraging law breaking there.
It is. It is.
Man, you can't do that.
I'll tell you, whoever the legislator is that introduced that act and pushed that through, tip of the hat to that guy.
Wait a minute. It took two houses to pass it, the House and the Senate in that state, as well as the governor signed off on it.
Yeah.
Become a bill, unless the governor vetoed it and it came back and they overrode it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure it was passed. There's probably a lot of public support for that kind of bill.
Public support for a Sasquatch Bigfoot bill?
I'm behind it, 100%. I wish we had one here in West Virginia.
I think we need more legislators spending their time passing those kind of laws. That's exactly what we need to bring us jobs and improve our educational system.
I'm all for Bigfoot government.
We've got to reduce our carbon footprint. So I'm for small feet, not big feet. Little Feet. You ever heard of them?
Little Feet, the band?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dixie Chicken.
Little Feet. They're the opposite of Bigfoot.
Actually, I have their greatest hits on my Amazon Prime as one of the things to listen to.
They were a good band. Didn't have too many albums, but they were a good band.
Yeah, they're pretty folksy and kind of chill. Good stuff.
Yep. A little country.
They got
Charlie Daniels.
Both kinds of music, country and Western.
To combine for country and Western.
Well, those are the 12 crazy laws of Christmas.
And now it's time for
legal briefs. And I don't think we have any legal briefs today.
I have one for you, Michael.
Oh, here it comes.
What is a Yule log? Now you take a stab at it.
That's a spicy, smelly log that you drop into your fireplace that everyone looks at and watches as it crackles and pops during the holiday season.
A spicy, smelly log that you drop. Okay. That sounds very descriptive. Well, okay. Let's see. I was trying to see if there was anything else that we could go over. Nope. I'm defining idiots, so I won't ask you about that.
Well, next, our next episode
is Santa laws.
Yeah, these are the laws that Santa breaks on his yearly mayhem fueled tirade through the world, terrorizing everyone with breaking all these laws.
And we're not going to go into why Santa doesn't have any children. But most of you may already be aware. However,
most of you are aware of the reindeer accident back in 67, which rendered him incapable of conceiving a child with Mrs. Claus. It was tragic. That's what you meant, right, Tommy?
Not exactly.
I think we're going to go with that, though.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what happened to his Christmas balls. We are going to go into if Santa, well, since Santa is real.
Yes, we can agree on this.
That he is real. And so what laws would be broken during his activities?
That's right.
And we'll leave it at that.
All right. Thanks to everybody for listening. And thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief.
And thanks to the McElroy Stable of Podcasts for the use of their recording studio. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, and Still Buffering, as well as many other fine offerings. And please, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. If you didn't, well, then not so much.
You're not supposed to say that.
You always edit that out, though, right?
Usually. Good. This has been Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Strong. And I'm just a dude.
Thanks for listening.